Okay, so we're in Matthew 10. We're going to look at verses 40 to 42 today. Before I read that, let me just kind of give you a picture. There once was a great king, and that great king had a very special daughter. And that daughter went around talking about how good her father was. And as she went around, she found that many people mocked her and rejected her and mistreated her, opposed her, made life very difficult for her. When the king heard how they had treated his daughter, how do you think the king treated the people? You can answer the question. How do you think he treated the people?
Like how they treated his daughter.
Okay, the way they treated his daughter. He wasn't real happy with the people, was he? Okay. There once was a great king who had a special daughter. That daughter went around talking about how good her father was. But this time, there were people who heard her message and received it. And they welcomed her into their home, and they fed her, and they sent her on her way. And when the king heard about it, how do you think the king treated those people? He treated them very well. Okay. To the king, the way you treat his child is the way you treat him. Right? Jesus says it's the same thing with Jesus. Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42, Jesus says this: "Whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. Whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever receives a righteous man because he is a righteous man will receive a righteous man's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water will by no means lose his reward." Okay, so this is the end of Jesus' talk to the disciples. He's sending the disciples out on mission. That starts in chapter 10, verse 1. Actually, I think it's 3 or something. But he sent them out. And he has given them instructions. He has then told them, you can expect persecution. And that's part of this whole chapter. As you go out and as you proclaim the kingdom of God, you can expect opposition. People aren't going to like it. In fact, he said, even your family. You can expect opposition even from your family. You remember, do not think I've come to bring peace to the earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. I have come to set a son against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. Jesus just got done saying that. That's kind of a downer message. Who wants to hear that? You know, if I follow Jesus, my family is going to oppose me. I got to make a choice here, you know? No one wants to hear that message. But he concludes the whole thing with encouragement. See, Jesus is saying to his people, he's saying, whatever they do to you, they've done to me. And whatever they do to me, they've done to the Father. In other words, the way people treat you and me as Christians. I mean, if we're genuine Christians, the way people treat us is how they treat God. If they persecute Christians They're persecuting God. Not because Christians are God, but because we are his children. We're the children of the king, so to speak. And the king takes it personally when his children are mistreated. So we've talked in the past several weeks about persecution and opposition, and you know, that professor at UT who mocks your faith, understand, he is opposing God, not just you. He's standing against God. He doesn't understand what he is doing. Those family members who criticize your stand for Jesus, you need to understand they are opposing God. They're not just opposing you. And you can take heart in that. This isn't just a personal thing with me. There's a problem there that they have with God. And that's why they are opposing your stand for Jesus. The government that's putting Christians in jail for their faith is opposing God, not just those people. And one day, they will answer for that. The king isn't going to be real happy with the people who are opposing him. Now, those are all examples of bad treatment of God's people. But when you look at these verses aren't focused on bad treatment, they're focused on good treatment. They say, whoever receives you receives me. They say, whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man because he's a righteous man. Whoever gives one of these little ones, even a cup of cold water, this is all good treatment. And so the focus here is on receiving you and treating you well. Now, to receive and to accept God's people, Jesus says, brings great reward. When you receive and accept God's people, it brings great reward. The reason for that is that in Christ, we're God's children. That's the reason. And God cares how people treat his children, just as a father cares how people treat his own son or daughter. I opened the sermon with an example of a king. But let's just talk about the real world for a moment. At Matthew's graduation, which was in May, some of you know Shinran. Shinran came to Matthew, not to the graduation, but to the party afterwards, with her parents from China. And her parents came into our home, and we'd never met them before. They did not speak English, but they were very happy to see us, and they basically welcomed us to their home in China. And the reason why, we were told, is they said we had cared for their daughter. They would like to take care of us. That's the same idea, isn't it? It happens in the real world all the time. I mean, if someone treats Merdad with kindness, they're treating you with kindness, aren't they? So that's how it is. When someone treats God's people with kindness, they're treating God with kindness as well. It's the same thing. And so any parent who has had a child has felt this. Okay, in Christ you're God's child. And he's going to reward the people who receive you. You are his treasured possession. He loves you. And that's not going to change. You are his representative. If you're in Christ, you represent Christ. Biblically, you're part of the bride of Christ. He cares for you just as a husband cares for his bride. And so what does it mean to receive God's people? Ultimately, Jesus is talking about receiving God's people. You look at the progression in these verses. Verse 40, he says, whoever receives you, he's talking to the 12 disciples. Whoever receives you guys, you disciples. Then he moves to whoever receives a prophet, because he's a prophet. Then he moves to whoever receives a righteous man, because he's a righteous man. And then he comes back to, and whoever gives one of these little ones, because he is a disciple, a cup of cold water. He's coming back to a disciple. And really, you look at the big picture, what he's doing is he's talking about God's people. He's just giving different examples of God's people, a prophet, a righteous man, a little one, because he's a disciple, and you, the 12. And so, to receive God's people is to receive God. And there's a reward in that. Now remember, this is the missionary discourse. Jesus is talking to disciples that he's sending out. In verse 14, he says to them, you can just look back, you're in chapter 10 right now. He says, if anyone will not receive you or listen to your words, shake the dust off your feet as you leave that town. Okay, so they're not going to receive you. Now they're going to receive you. It's the same verb. To receive God's people means two things. First, it means to take their message to heart. If you reject their message, you're not exactly receiving them. You have to accept their message. You have to take the message to heart. The Christian message is faith. In the Christian message is part of receiving God's people. That's why he says, if they will not receive you or listen to your words, verse 14. The second thing, to receive God's people means this as well. It means you treat them with honor. You treat God's people with honor. And so it means both of those things. You take their message to heart, you treat them with honor. Now, there are a lot of teachings from God that the world rejects. When a Christian says Jesus is the only path to God, there are people who reject that. They don't like it. What they don't understand is that's what Jesus said. That's not just your opinion. Jesus said that. So then when they reject that, if you give them that and they reject it, they're rejecting Jesus. And Jesus said, how they treat you is how they treat me. How they treat me is how they treat the Father. They're rejecting God. That's part of the message of the gospel. When we call people to give to Jesus their lives as Lord, and they do, they're not yielding to you and me. They're yielding to God. They may listen to our message and believe it in faith, but ultimately, they're trusting God, not us. We're just messengers. Bringing the message, that's all we are. We're the faucet through which the water flows, but we're not the water. We're not the living water. We just carry the living water to people. When they drink, they're sustained from the water of God, not from us. To to when people acknowledge Jesus as God, they're yielding to Jesus, which means they're yielding to God. Now, let's get practical. How do we receive God's people? Because that's what this is about, really. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives a prophet, whoever receives a righteous man, whoever receive. It's like in those verses about five times. So how do we receive God's people? Or if you want to put it another way around, if you are God's people, how is it that the world should receive you? So, how do we receive God's people? One, honor Scripture. Our message is in this book. This is our message. It's in here. If you dishonor this book, you're dishonoring the message. Honor the book. How you treat the Bible is how you treat God. Not because the Bible is God, but because the Bible contains His words. It actually is the Word of God. So how you treat it is how it reflects how you are treating God when you do that. The message of God is in the Bible. What that means is the message of a genuine Christian is in the Bible. Our message should come from Scripture. That's why when I preach from Scripture. And we just kind of walk through Scripture and see what it says and try to apply it to our lives. And so love this book. Love it. That's one way of receiving God's people. Second way, repent. It's not enough to just know the Bible and nod your head and say, oh, yeah, I like that. You have to do it. You have to practice it. James said that we are to not just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word also. And so many people know what it says, but they don't really take it to heart. To take it to heart means you start practicing it. You start to live it. It affects how you live your life. It's not just knowledge. It changes you. If the Bible doesn't change you, you haven't really received it. You may know about it, but you haven't received it. Has to change you. What this means is, when we give up the message, if we present the message of Jesus to people, and they receive the message, at least on one sense, but they never do it, they didn't really receive the message. You haven't received the message until it actually affects how you live. You've actually rejected the message. Even though you might nod your heads and say, oh no, I accept the message, but then you live a different way. That's not really accepting the message. And so to receive God's people is to receive God's message, and to receive God's message is to put it into practice and not just know about it. So that's the second way. So remember, how do we receive God's people? One, honor Scripture. That's where the message is. Two, repent. Do it. Don't just know it. Practice it. It should affect your life. Three. So those first two deal with the message. The second two, this next one deals with the person. Practice hospitality. Jesus is sending out his disciples into the villages of Galilee, the Jewish villages in Galilee specifically. And he's saying, go into the villages. If someone takes you into their home, go. He's assuming that there's some hospitality that's going to happen toward God's people here. Now he's saying, he who receives you, receives me. And so that's part of this receiving. Practice hospitality toward God's people. Part of receiving the disciples involved having them into the home. It means that we need to be in one another's homes. That's part of it's part of being in one another's lives. So open your home. Open your dining table and have some people in and have dinner with them and so on. That's one piece of receiving God's people. Another piece, meet one another's needs. So, is there a believer in financial trouble? If you have the ability, help them out. Is there a believer who there's a need? You need a ride. If you have the ability, provide a ride. Help them with their math, if you're good at math, and they're struggling in math, or English, or whatever the need is. Is somebody down? By down, I mean sad. Be their friend. Invite them over for dinner and say, hey, how you doing? These are ways, these are also parts of receiving God's people. God's people wrestle with all kinds of things. God's people wrestle with sin. God's people wrestle with depression. God's people wrestle with family problems. God's people wrestle with job issues, money issues. We're not exempt from that. And so to receive God's people is to help them in these issues when we're able to help them in these things. Okay, so how do we receive God's people? Two things dealing with the message, because you have to really accept the message. And that is honor Scripture and repent. Actually do what Scripture says. Don't just know it. That's honoring the message. And when you're honoring the message, you're honoring the person who brought it. And then the last two deal with the person. Be hospitable and meet needs when you can. If there is such a need in somebody's life. There you're helping the person. You're receiving the person and not leaving the person to whatever. And so, if you're able to do something to help a brother or a sister out, and you don't, then you're not really receiving that person. Okay, so kind of summarizing, how people treat Christians is how they treat God. You and I are God's people if we are in Christ. We're in Christ by faith. This world will be rewarded on the basis of how it treats us. Think about that for a moment. This world will be rewarded on the basis of how it treats us as God's people. The purpose of God saying this is to say, in one sense, I've got your back. That's an English idiom. It means I'm protecting you. I'm with you. I'm looking over you. Remember, the context is the missionary discourse. He's saying to the disciples, go to the villages of Galilee. Go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Proclaim to them the kingdom of God. Heal the sick. Cast out demons. Cleanse lepers. Raise the dead. Freely you've received, freely give. This is what he's telling them to do. These are the instructions Jesus is giving to the disciples. And he's preparing them as they go out. You expect persecution, but I'm with you. If they receive you, they're receiving me, Jesus is saying. The context is, it affects what this is, what Jesus is trying to say to them. It affects his purpose here. And so he's saying, go ahead, proclaim the work of the kingdom. Yes, you can expect persecution, but do it anyway. Proclaim, I have your back. Bring healing and restoration to your family. Bring it to your neighbors. Bring it to whoever you come across. Be bold with the gospel. Yes, rejection will come. It will. Maybe even persecution. But God has you. He will reward those who receive you in the name of Jesus. Okay. Here's what I'd like you to do. I'm going to close. I'm going to ask you to think of one thing, one practical thing that you can do to either receive the message or to help another Christian. What's one thing you can do? Think about that. Take a minute. Think what that might be. You can write it on the back of your scripture I gave you. And we'll close in just a minute.